You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. McDonald's is Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Joins us, Woodley. How you doing, my man?
I am good. I'm in Seattle, so you've got me in the car right now. So hopefully the reception holds up down here. Although this is where I'm at Climate Pledge, so they've got a great facility and good Wi-Fi.
Right, you got a bunch of waves flowing right through. You don't even know it. So yeah, you'll be just fine. We're gonna get into some goalies. The Oilers got a slate of goalies this week that could be pretty tough. But give me your thoughts, because I had a lot of people questioning already. You know, the Oilers, like Stuart Skinner's season has been, I was looking at it online, he's ninth in goals against average among starters, guys who have played at least five games in the NHL. He's 16th in save percentage, and it looks to be about, you know, I think it's 16th or 17th in goals saved above expected. Not a huge number, positive or negative, but more positive than negative. Pickard, on the other hand, is, you know, save percentage isn't good, goals against average isn't great, goals saved above expected is negative, so not ideal. But what did you make of Skinner's play on the odd man rush chances in Seattle on Saturday night?
Well, I'll give you two quick things here on their total numbers. Skinner, by clear sight numbers, is just a hair below expected, which isn't bad. Seattle game hurt a little bit. So sort of a little further down the list league-wide, though, although, you know, there's some small sample guys in here.
Yeah, I only use guys who played five games for mine, so.
Yeah, so yeah, they would definitely be up there. But he's just right around expected, and you're right. It's been a tough start for Calvin. At the same time, as we talked about last year on the flip side of it, like, Calvin had an expected save percentage that was near the top of the league last year, and right now it's a full 20 points below. So in terms of what he's facing quality-wise, whether that's the defense in front of him or some of the matchups, like when you go from an expected of like 901, 902 to right now he's at 884, which is well below league average, that's a huge jump. He's seeing a lot more quality, and you're right. I thought he was good last night, actually. I thought he made some, as much as I thought there were some really good saves in there. There was the backdoor on Reichel that allowed them to tie the game and get an extra point. There was a couple going across the crease, so... I didn't mind his game at all. I know the results haven't been there. With Stu, I kind of haven't minded his game overall either, except you're right. Like, the Seattle odd man rush goals, they don't look great. Sort of catches his pad as he goes to push right on the second one and ends up sort of almost stumbling over it and diving across. And I go back to depth. And, you know, again, on that odd man rush, you know, it's that shooter, that puck carrier is not at a point where you need to be challenging. Yeah. And, you know, he is out well past the top of his crease. And I think that's a play that he needs to be playing from inside his crease and let it come to him. And then that push across is just so much shorter. Mm-hmm. And you keep things in front of you rather than trying to play catch up when you're behind the play. Because you've given yourself so much distance to cover, it's hard to get early angle when you're that far out. You know, it's hard to keep the game in front of you. And so when you're behind the game, that's when you panic and you dive, or whether he caught an edge on his pad, or that was just, oh, I got to get there faster than I'm going to get there sliding. I need to dive. I don't know which one it was. I didn't have a chance to ask him last night. But when you put yourself in a position to be behind the game, and again, given his relative strength and weaknesses, to me, that's not a spot he should be in. You just make your life that much more difficult. And I know that's something they've been working on. And I think that actually rush chance and the way he played it was a little uncharacteristic. And maybe it was a reaction to the first one. Because the first one, he's got a neutral depth. He pushes across. He gets himself on his knees, balance, gets there. And it kind of handcuffs him. And if you look at it, again, I wish I had a chance to ask him last night. He comes across to his post, and actually it feels to me almost like he hits his post before the puck gets there.
Yeah.
And that sort of interrupts his ability to stay on that puck and his balance and all those things. So there, maybe the reaction is, oh man, I played that deep. I hit my post and it, you know, it jarred me and it cost me a chance to make a good save. I'm going to play the next one how I used to play it. I don't know. I don't know what's going through his mind. You have to ask him, and I give them the benefit of the doubt on the processing of this, but they were juxtaposed. Even if the first one cost him because he went into the post, maybe make that push just above the post next time. I still would prefer to see him have that depth for the second one. Okay. I think the difference would be he has a chance on the first one. He gets there, and he doesn't give himself a good enough chance on the second one. And hey, man, this is really easy to do from my couch, but that's how I look at those goals.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. Right. He can be better there. Now, you mentioned like the Oilers are giving up more quality chances early on in their first 10 games this year than they did last season. Right.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly the expected, the environment for Calvin would be an indication of that. Sorry, Jason, just the Wi-Fi is a little sketchy keeping up with me and our conversation. So I'm pulling up their numbers. And yeah, they're in the bottom half of the NHL. Not by far, but 5-on-5 high danger chances against, they're 18th. Off the rush, they're 16th. Their PK is 9th. That's not bad. But like, this is a team that's been top 5, top 10 in most of those categories traditionally. So that game hasn't been there. We've talked about how they're not generating much offensively. 24th in the league in terms of 5-on-5 high danger rush. 27th overall expected goals for 5-on-5. Even 10th on the power play is low by their standards in terms of expected. So at both ends of the rink, yeah, it's early. They've done this before and pulled out of it. But it's not just the results in terms of the goals that are going in on the goalies and the goals that aren't being scored. The underlying process doesn't look the same as it has in the past, and the underlying numbers are not flattering at all considering where the expectations are for this team.
Yeah, so your numbers, you say, like basically they're bottom 5 and bottom 10 when it comes to high danger chances, 5-on-5 and then off the rush. And that should be the strength of this team. So I think anybody who's watched the Oilers games would agree that through 10 games, the offense has been the biggest culprit for this team.
Yeah, numbers back that up. And actually, yeah, honestly, over the weekend, those numbers bumped up. They were even further below going into Seattle. They were even further down. They generated something. I mean, that pass to Bouchard and Draisaitl on the breakaway last night, like they had some looks. They had a 2-on-0. Like as Ryan Nugent-Hopkins told us after, he's got to find a way to bury that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a play, especially with Roslovic on his 1T side. You know, Demko sort of stayed middle depth, but you go to your backhand when you've got a guy to the 1T side. And again, really easy from my couch to question elite NHL shooters and skill players, or in the front seat of my car in this case. But you know, those are opportunities that I think when this team is really clicking, they're finding ways to capitalize on them. 2-on-0 is a unique animal, but I thought there were some chances they had last night. And you know, tip your cap to Demko. He made some pretty good saves as well.
Yeah, he was good. It wasn't like he was in game 2 of that of the season when he was
on. No, he didn't have to.
No, exactly. They didn't test him that much. Now, the Oilers come to town, they're back home, and they've got the Utah Mammoth coming in tomorrow night. Now, Utah has won 7 in a row. They're scoring at will. Their top two lines are scoring a lot. They got Schmaltz is tied for the league in 16 points. Cooley's got 7 goals. Gunther's got 11 points. Keller's got 12 points. Like, they got a lot of guys producing. I was looking at Vejmelka's numbers, and it's interesting, Kev. Like, so he's got a 905 save percentage. Skinner's got a 903 save percentage. Vejmelka has a 2.43 goals against. Skinner has a 2.31. So, you know, pick your poison, which one, you know, they're basically the same. I was looking, though, Utah seems to have given up more chances in the slot, according to the NHL Edge site, thus far. So is Vejmelka outperforming with a 905 and a 2.43? Is he outperforming his environment so far this season?
By a pretty significant margin, Jason.
Okay.
He's actually, and here's the one that I didn't see coming, and fool me a couple. So is Vitek Vanacek. That has not been, as much as the win streak and the offense is all comes as advertised from Utah, defensively, like it's almost like they've decided to trade chances, which is really interesting in today's NHL. Also real interesting given, you know, what I know of their head coach, Andre Tournier, and conversations I've had with him in the past, including with some Hockey Canada stuff where he, you know, he seems to understand the importance of quality, not just not giving it up, but specifically not giving up chances that, you know, leave your goaltenders hung out to dry. Like actually having systems right down to the PK when he was in Colorado, they would PK different when it was Varlamov in net versus Jaguar, because each goalie had different strengths and he understands that. Right now, you know, unless there's something in the water that I'm missing in terms of the chances they are giving up being specific to their goalie's strengths, they're giving up a lot. Vanacek has an expected save percentage of .881. He's outperforming it by plus 2.5%. Even with the small sample guys, he's only played a couple games, but even with the small sample guys, that's 14th. Vejmelka's expected save percentage is .883. And he's plus 1.6% on that. So, you know, if you get down to the sort of minimum 100 shot guys, he's top 10 in the National Hockey League right now. So, you know, you take a look. This is the, you know, apples and oranges comparisons. But Jmelka's raw numbers compared to how he's actually performed, the raw numbers probably don't do justice to how good he's been. Because as good as they are offensively, it's been at the expense of giving up chances at the other end. Which would be interesting for the Oilers to meet. Because to me, when they're at their best, they're a team that stifles other teams and creates chances off the turnovers that they generate. And that opportunity would appear to be there against Utah. But again, the firepower is so good, you really have to execute defensively or it doesn't matter because they convert so well.
Yes, that's very true. Then you got the Rangers coming to town. They lost in they gave up 5 goals to the Calgary Flames, who could barely score 5 goals in their first 9 games. Kev, like, the Rangers, it was funny because their first 7 or 8 games defensively, they didn't give up a ton. Well, Shesterkin was playing great. But they couldn't score. But to get lit up by 5 goals by the team who couldn't score to save their life, what do you make of the Rangers' woes right now?
Yeah, it's interesting because up until like last night, obviously killed his numbers pretty much. I haven't checked, trying to think of last time I checked on this because right now I look at Igor Shesterkin, he's 24th in the NHL in adjusted save percentage. And the last time I looked at that was probably actually, you know, the last time we talked. So probably a week ago, like he was the guy.
Yeah.
He was the best. And the defensive numbers, like, we're looking at expected save percentages, both above 900 for him and Quick.
Yeah.
And so it feels like there's dysfunction is way too strong a word there. They're obviously missing Trocheck. But it just, like, whatever they're trying to do, something just feels off with how they're doing it. I actually, you know, I heard the quotes from JT Miller when they weren't scoring, talking about the process being good. And honestly, it did. It looked good at that time. Like their expected numbers during some of those games, like it was just, they got goaltended in a few of them. And so it looked like the process was better. Right now, the process has sort of slipped offensively. They're not scoring. The process is also slipping. They've been great defensively. Like they've got some of the best, other than the penalty kill, they've got some of the best defensive metrics in the league. Like we talk about expected goals off the rush, and that should be the bread and butter of the Oilers. This so far this season, that's something the Rangers do not give up. And that's something they've always given up until the coaching change. I can't figure out what's going on at the goaltending. I haven't had a chance to look through the 5 goals last night. It was exceptional early on. It would appear that there is really good defending in front of them. And maybe this is just a 1 or 2 game blip, but it looks like the bottom fell out. And when you're struggling to score and you're trying to get guys to buy into the process defensively, but the puck goes in and you're losing anyways, that can become a real uphill battle for coaches in his first year. And so I'm kind of curious to see what they look like here in Vancouver, obviously with JT Miller's return tomorrow night. Or I should say home in Vancouver when I get there this afternoon, to sort of see what it looks like in real time, because right now the numbers don't really match the results on either end of the rink.
You think Shesterkin plays all 3, or do you think the Oilers might see Quick on Thursday?
I would have said all 3, because they're spaced out.
Yeah.
But I do wonder the way it went in Calgary, if we see a change there. I'm actually nervous because I was hoping to talk to Jonathan Quick tomorrow, and if he's starting, I probably won't get to. And I've had 4 teams come through Vancouver, Jason. I've yet to talk to a single visiting goaltender with today's schedule and no practices and all those things. I'm not sure. I think, like, the results, if they're looking at those results and saying, fatigue is a factor here, then whoever, like, I think you could see them split these next two, and I'm not sure which order. I originally thought it would be all 3 Shesterkin. Maybe that changes based on last night's results if they read that as a fatigue thing.
Okay. Kevin Woodley joins. Spencer Knight in Chicago has had an unreal start by the numbers. What are the underlying numbers telling you?
The underlying numbers are just as flattering. Now, they're not as bad defensively as they have been. He's just a hair below expected. But he is outperforming it. Like, he's outperforming it at a margin that is number 1 in the National Hockey League amongst any goaltender that's seen at least 100 shots. Better than Connor Hellebuck, who, by the way, that environment was loose at the start of the season. He's outperformed it at a significant margin. We talk about Jakub Dobish, who's so good to start the season, 5-0. Like, Spencer Knight's ahead of all of these guys. And listen, like, good for him, because the The eye test has always been there, Jason.
Yeah.
He's always looked, but the numbers haven't. You know, outside of the start in Florida, like they weren't there last year. Although, you know, again, you're going to a new team, a much looser environment. The numbers just haven't been there to the point where even I was like, geez, like, you know, everything I watch looks great, but I can't ignore these numbers. Am I missing something here? Like, do I have to, you know, get, you know, less high on him, so to speak, when I talk about him? So I'm kind of glad that he's doing this, because his game has always looked really good. I love how he thinks the game. He's a real no stone unturned. Like, he's done a good job of finding the ability to walk away from it when he's not playing, but he really digs into the game and the minutiae and everything he needs to do to make himself better. And he's been not just better, but, you know, like I said, frankly, the best in the NHL so far this season. Now, next step is you got to keep doing it, right? Like, that's the hardest part of being a number one. And as much as he's played a lot for a young goaltender, he got an early start right out of college. It's not been in this role before. And so there will probably be bumps along the road, especially with that team. There will be times where he has to learn how to manage his game, manage his body, manage his rest in different manners. But right now it's a fantastic start. And for the first time in a while, you're sort of being like, hey, that's what it's supposed to happen when it looks that good. That's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to win. You're supposed to have numbers like that. It's nice to see it coming together for a guy who, hey, I'm biased. Every time I talk to him, I learn something. Fantastic conversations about the position, and I love his approach to it, and it's nice to see that paying off for him.
Any goalie early on that's given you some concern for a starting goaltender? Like, if I just look at, you know, numbers, guys like Wolf has an 886. Now, maybe that's environment. Linus Ullmark has an 870 save percentage. Anthony Stolarz has an 885 save percentage. Jake Ottinger is under 900. Darcy Kemper is 887. Vasilevsky, of all people, is 892. Is there any star? Sorokin's 875. Any starter where you look and say, I'm a little concerned?
Well, how about this one from a Canadian perspective? Sam Montembeau has really struggled. I just talked to him here in Seattle. Montreal was down here, came down to talk to all three Kraken goalies, and that's something we can get into next week, how they're managing with three goalies to make sure they keep Joey Decord fresh. You know, Sam Montembeau, as good as Dobish has been, Montembeau's at the exact opposite end of the spectrum, and it's not environment. He's got an expected of 9.05. I go a little bit up the list, and there's Jordan Binnington with an expected of 8.96. 56 out of 68 goaltenders. Montembeau 64th. Aiden Hill's hurt. Like, from a Canadian Olympic standpoint, those guys are off to a really tough start. And weird games in St. Louis, so I know enough to know that even though the expected at save percentage is decent, it feels like they're an on-off team, and there's been some nights where Bennington's been hung out to dry. But, you know, like, we know he's capable of better than that. You know, that one jumps out at me a little bit. The other one is Markstrom. Who's reportedly talking contract extension, and, you know, obviously a name that probably Oilers fans are keeping an eye on, but his adjusted save percentage is just barely above Calvin Pickard so far this season. Now, again, for him, it's a small sample, but those are the ones that jump out the most. There's a few. Like, there's a tough start for John Gibson. He's still digging out of that first game hole, but well below expected. Aiden Hill, before he got hurt, well below expected. Linus Ullmark, still well below expected. Bobrovsky, Kemper, like, these are some really big names that are a full 2% below expected early this season. Don't expect it to last. You mentioned Ottinger, you know, again, another year where he's below expected. So some things to keep an eye on. Philip Gustafson as well, you know, right back to one great year, one bad year. Last year was fantastic. And at least at the start right now, as a guy who's played amongst the most, only Wolf's played more, you know, sitting below minus 0.8%. So too early to panic. We talked about the 20-game mark being before we start to judge these guys, but you certainly have an eye on some that are that far, you know, below that sort of break-even league average level, especially the ones that are starters and playing more.
Kev, fantastic stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah, Decord, when he doesn't play, he doesn't even dress, and so they'll dress the two other goalies, which is probably music to his ears. He doesn't have to go through anything, just gets to relax, and so we can touch on that. I'll be curious to see how long that lasts. in Seattle, but so far so good for them. They're off to a really good start.
As long as he keeps playing that well, and when they butt back to backs and he's playing the second half of it, not only does he not play the first one, they fly him ahead to the next city, so he's not arriving late with the team. He's there, he's rested, he's getting a proper night's sleep. He just told me it's been a massive thing for him. That and NHL Sense Arena, he uses the VR to prevent having to go on ice to see pucks, so he stays fresh without taxing himself physically. It's a really interesting mix they've got going. I look forward to getting into it more.
Yeah, I want to talk about that VR next week for sure. Awesome stuff, Kev. Really appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks.